Drive Time 91.3. Always on the cutting edge.
Voice of the Cape, Drive Time 91.3. Welcome back to the show. Armed groups in the Central African Republic have killed civilians with impunity, spurring more violence in the war-torn country. That's according to a new Human Rights Watch report released today. The 92-page report entitled Killing Without Consequence, War Crimes, Crimes Against Humanity, and the Special Criminal Court in the Central African Republic presents a comprehensive account of war crimes committed in the three central provinces since late 2014, including more than 560 civilian deaths and the destruction of more than 4,200 homes. Lewis Mudge, the author of the report and a researcher at the Africa Division at Human Rights Watch, joins us online from Rwanda. Lewis Mudge, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Now, before we try and understand what's going on in the Central African Republic, there are two main players that we always hear about. We hear about Seleka and Anti-Baleka. How do we understand these two groups, which seem to be quite central to the conflict that you've just studied?
Sure, they absolutely are central. The Seleka is a group that was made up of several different armed groups out of the Northeast, and they're the ones that came out of the Northeast in 2012 and descended upon Bongi and took the capital in 2013 March. And if you remember, there was actually a large battle with a contingent from South Africa.
That's right, Bongi.
In that month. And they proceeded to completely misrule the country for around 8 months. They really showed that their true methods of ruling was to simply loot, was to kill civilians at will, was to burn villages, anyone who wouldn't go along with their program, which was to pillage. They destroyed entire neighborhoods of Bongi. The Seleka was made up not only of armed groups from the Northeast, but also of a lot of Sudanese and Chadian mercenaries. And in response to that group and the complete destruction of the National Army and of the Central State, these Anti-Balaka militias rose up. And now, I think what's important to highlight is that the Seleka are mostly Muslim, but they were not Islamists, so they were not trying to spread an Islamic agenda across the Central African Republic. However, when these Anti-Balaka groups were formed, and they are majority Christian or animist, they started to target all Muslims in the country as people who were either Seleka or sympathetic to the Seleka cause. So that's why we saw in early 2014 this mass exodus of Muslims out of the western part of the country, and there's about 500,000 of them still in refugee camps in Chad and Cameroon. That might not sound like a huge figure, but when you're talking about a population nationwide of only 4.6 million, that's actually quite a significant chunk of the population. So the Seleka were kicked out of Bongi by African Union and French peacekeepers, and they proceeded to set themselves up in 2014 in the center and eastern part of the country. And that's what our report focuses on. Abuses by the Seleka, primarily by the Seleka, but also abuses by the Anti-Balaka in that region as they seek to continue to engage the Seleka. There are 15 right now, 15 armed groups in the Central African Republic, including the Lord's Resistance Army. So it definitely is a hodgepodge of different groups. But yeah, the two main players fall into those two broad categories.
In fact, I mean, I can remember doing interviews on CAR, the Central African Republic, shortly after that South African military contingent were fired on and the tragedy that came out of that. It does seem as if for the last 3 to 4 years that the Central African Republic has been something of a basket case and a real problem for that part of the continent.
It is. If it's not a failed state, then I'm not sure what a failed state is. Two-thirds of the territory is controlled by armed groups. Not the towns, but they control the roads. So they effectively control what humanitarian assistance can come in and out. The central government, which, you know, is legitimate and was elected last year in 2016, they control the capital and they control some parts of the southwest. But the crisis in the CAR has fallen off of the world's agenda, but by no means does that mean this crisis is over. It's still ongoing. There still needs to be some world attention on the crisis, because frankly, when you look at crises like Syria or Yemen, where Human Rights Watch also works, in the Central African Republic, there are some solutions we feel to diminishing and eventually ending this conflict. And you know, we also have a very large presence of the United Nations Peacekeeping Force, which, you know, with 12,800 troops is big and substantial. But when you're talking about a country the size of France, you begin to realize how overstretched that force really can get.
What would you see as the solutions in the Central African public? Because most people listening to us, you know, we are based in South Africa, would be very happy, I think, to see the Central African Republic moving towards a more a peaceful landscape.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, there was a peace deal signed on June 19th. It's the fourth of a failed peace agreement. There's been other ones in 2014 and 2015 that never got any traction. And the main reason is this. The main reason is because the authors of these crimes are trying to protect themselves. They want amnesty. They want to make sure that they're not held accountable for what they do. I arrived in the Central African Republic for Human Rights Watch for the first time on March 23rd, 2013. That was the day that Bongi was taken by the Seleka. And all my conversations since then with either Seleka or Antibalaka or other groups, with the exception of the LRA that are operating on the territory, in all my conversations with their commanders, mid-level, high-level commanders, they are afraid of being held accountable for the war crimes they've committed. So we think that there has to be a strong push for accountability, for an end of impunity in this country. I strongly feel that once we start seeing warlords held accountable for what they've done, it will make future warlords and current warlords think twice about going into villages, using rape as a weapon of war, and slaughtering people and burning down structures. Now, the ICC opened investigations in September 2014, but as we all know, the ICC is a very imperfect instrument. It takes a very long time. It only goes after a handful of individuals. It's incredibly expensive, and justice is rendered in Europe, very, very far away from the victims of this violence. The national courts are a complete mess. The Seleka overthrew a very weak state, and that definitely includes the judicial system. But there is this new hybrid national court, which I think is just incredibly interesting, and it could really be a model for post-conflict African countries. This is a court that has a ton of UN support. It's made up of international and national judges and prosecutors. This court is up and running. The international special prosecutor was named in February. He's from the Congo. He's a very, very strong individual. The national prosecutor has been named, and national judges were actually sworn in this week. So we think that this special criminal court really could be a way forward, not only in CAR, but potentially it could be a model that could be replicated in other places.
It sounds very exciting, because something else that's in the back of my mind, and it does sort of take us away a little bit from what we're discussing, and that is the fact that our very own government here, much to our shame, is quite determined to break away from the ICC in spite of our constitutional court ruling that its moves are actually unconstitutional, if you know what I'm trying to say. So this local solution, in a sense, with strategic intervention, really does, to me, and I'm not an expert, sound like a win-win scenario.
It has a lot of advantages. Number one, I think one of the problems with the ICC in South Africa is by no means the only country on the continent. I mean, I'm from a country that's never signed the Rome Statute, so much to my shame, America's never been a part of it. But we're seeing, you know, moves by the Gambia we saw earlier, although that did turn around. We're seeing Kenya voice real opposition to the ICC. There are a lot of advantages to this hybrid structure. Number one, this court in Central African Republic is a national court. It's written into national law. And so, there, you know, you have this issue of sovereignty is addressed in the sense that more than 50% of the judges will be national judges, and there'll be a national deputy prosecutor, investigators, and police investigators will all be nationals. Number two, which I think is really, really important, is that the justice will be rendered in the Central African Republic. So this court, we expect to start investigations in 2018, and, you know, if everything goes according to plan, everything goes well, they could actually start having trials in 2018. A lot of these individuals that the court is going to go after have actually already been arrested by the UN. So it's not a question of actually capturing them. And number three, this type of structure, this type of mechanism can be done on a much, much leaner budget than the ICC. I mean, the ICC just costs millions to operate out of Holland. They have, you know, huge overheads in getting staff down to investigate and look into crimes, and it takes years. This is really a fraction of what the similar investigations would cost with the International Criminal Court.
To me, and again, I have to emphasize I'm not an expert, to me the most practical solution seems to be the Special Criminal Court that you're just describing to me, because you know, local solutions always are going to have more credibility, and if they are seen to be effective, as you earlier said, a lot of these Seleka and anti-Baleka fighters who've committed these atrocities are definitely going to think twice if they see some of their colleagues sitting behind bars in the country of origin.
Yeah, I mean, look, one of the groups that we highlight in our report is a Seleka faction called the MPC. Its military commander is an individual by the name of Mohammed El Katim. He's out and about. He's very findable. He doesn't hide. I've spoken to him at least a dozen times. Their political leader was arrested by the UN in February, and he's right now in jail. And it's very probable that this is an individual that will be tried by the Special Criminal Court for you know, war crimes. I mean, this is a guy who commanded fighters to go destroy villages. Now, that'll send a very strong message to Al Qatim, who's right now surrounded by dozens of armed men. If his political leader is tried and convicted, we might not get every single bad guy. That's not the goal of this court. That'll never happen, especially in a country like Central African Republic. It's to get these guys who are sitting there thinking that they can just kill and rape and burn villages with no consequences. It's to get them to start thinking twice. And I think it'll send a very strong message once these guys get before the courtroom, once the pictures spread across social media, which these guys follow, of them in prison fatigues before a judge. It'll really send a signal that the days of impunity in Central African Republic are over. This is not a silver bullet. This is not going to solve all the problems in the Central African Republic. But this violence is becoming to the point where it's intractable. We have fighting that's happening right now in the southeast of the country today, causing the displacement of tens of thousands. And something has to give. A message has to be sent that this is not going to be accepted.
Lewis Mudge, who is from Human Rights Watch, author of a report we've been discussing. It's entitled Killing Without Consequence, War Crimes, Crimes Against Humanity, and the Special Criminal Court in the Central African Republic. As Lewis has said, it's not a silver bullet, but the Special Criminal Court in the Central African Republic, which offers more of a local solution, certainly goes a long, long way to seeing those who are committing war crimes and crimes against humanity being held accountable. Lewis Mudge, well done on the report, and thanks for chatting to us.
Thanks for having me. I'm happy to chat anytime.
Drive Time 91.3. Always on the cutting edge.